Hey everybody, this is Alex Merced, and you are listening to the Thoughts and Opinions of Alex Merced. And again, this is just about my thoughts and opinions, so I talk about whatever I want to talk about. And today what I want to talk about is Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania. I just literally got home from the theater, and I just want to say, it was a great movie. I really enjoyed it. Bottom line is this, like, you probably saw that, like, it didn't get the greatest Rotten Tomatoes score. I basically take that as, I guess, a lot of critics don't like sci-fi movies, because at the end of the day, it is very much, much more of a sci-fi movie than the first two Ant-Man movies. So if you were going in there expecting sort of the more light-hearted palate cleanser of the first two Ant-Man movies, then yes, this is not going to necessarily meet your expectations. But if you just treat it as it's as a movie, and if you it, as, in the Marvel Cinematic Universe as a Marvel movie, great, definitely set up Phase 5. But it didn't focus so much on setting up Phase 5 that it distracted from telling its story. Like, every character had an arc. Those arcs played out. I was never bored during the movie. I laughed plenty of times. There was a lot of scenes that I very much enjoyed. I can see why it's not going to necessarily be for everybody. In the same way, like, there's probably a lot of people who don't like Star Wars. I don't think the Star Wars comparison is quite... as strong as some people say. I mean, there's definitely a lot of scenes where it feels like you're watching a Star Wars cantina scene. Like, there's one that's, like, obviously that, but there's, like, a lot of scenes where you're just kind of like, oh, okay, there's, like, a lot of stuff going on. But it's not... I never felt like any character was contrived. I never felt bored by the story. I felt the movie went by fairly quickly. It felt like kind of like Spider-Man No Way Home, where basically... Except Spider-Man No Way Home was a longer movie that felt shorter because it was so fast-paced. But same thing here. Like, it doesn't really waste the time that it uses. Like, I think I was able to time my bathing breaks pretty well. I mean, for the most part, I enjoyed myself from beginning to end. I never, like, felt like, oh, this wasn't worth the trip to the theater. Particularly the sea things that you have seen in the trailer. Like, you know, MODOK is in the movie because we see that in the trailer. And MODOK was awesome. Okay, so if you're wondering, like, okay, how are they going to do this character justice? They do. MODOK was a lot of fun. Okay, Kang was cool. Okay, Kang was actually really, was really well done. The way everything kind of resolves itself was a little bit different than I thought the story would go. And then, you know, that gets even, that kind of, then there's like the, basically, like, it ends up getting where you think it's going by the time you leave the theater. But it definitely goes there a little bit. Basically, Marvel is definitely shooting its shot with Kang. And I'm glad they are, because I definitely am excited for them to, like, use Jonathan Majors as much as possible. I think he played the character really well and was a very compelling villain. So, yeah, it's very clear we're going to see a lot of them. So, and I mean, I don't think that's any surprise or spoiler for anyone who knows anything about Kang from the comics. But yes, like, the movie makes this, you know, basically makes that statement very clear that, like, Kang is very much going to be a thing going forward everywhere. Okay, so that's cool. I like the ending. Yeah, I can see, like, some people say, like, oh, there's certain choices that I didn't necessarily like. I don't think there was any choices I don't necessarily, like, look back and I'm like, I mean, I really wish they didn't do that. There's certain things where, like, you kind of have, and that goes for, like, pretty much any movie, especially for movies that, like, are dealing with some level of, like, not reality, like Marvel. So, yes, I understand, like, the Marvel Cinematic Universe started very much grounded in reality, but because the world wasn't built yet. Now the world's been built, there's a lot more sort of going on with space and now the quantum realm and the multiverse. So going forward, yes, there is a certain level of suspending disbelief you have, and there are going to be times, but I don't think any of the choices any of the characters made were, like, horribly like, oh man, that's a hard thing to believe that they made that choice. Like, nothing like that. Okay, so now I kind of done my best to kind of speak vague about my thoughts of this movie. So bottom line is, I think you should go see it. go see it. And now I'm gonna start talking spoilers. So if you don't want the movie spoiled, this is your warning. I'm talking really slow to give you time to really think about whether you want spoilers. Okay, because I'm gonna start talking about a lot of the stuff that isn't necessarily obvious from the trailer. Okay, going once, going twice, sold. Okay, basically when it comes to sort of like the ending, I was actually surprised that they actually killed Kang. Like, I was like, what? Again, they pay it off, but I was actually surprised. And like a lot of people allude to like how could someone like Ant-Man hold their own against Kang? He really didn't. Okay, when you watch the movie, you realize like it literally took that the whole quantum realm and a civilization of ants that evolved 1,000 years to defeat Kang, and basically that was a severely weakened Kang. Because, Kang didn't have his full set of abilities, and plus he exercised, this was probably the cockiest of the Kangs, so he, which shows why he ended up being exiled, because his hubris definitely gets the best of him. Okay, so you can kind of, basically you can get a sense why this Kang was defeatable, because he had the hubris to think he was better than all the other Kangs, which is why all the other Kangs exiled him, then that hubris continued throughout this movie. So I think like they make it very clear like this particular version of Kang is basically thinks his roses smell too good and makes a lot of decisions based on that kind of cockiness. Okay, because there's a lot of, I mean, and plus he can't necessarily like kill his antagonist because he kind of needs his antagonist. He needs he can't just kill Scott and everybody else, because if he kills them, then there is no additional chances. So you can kind of see why he had to hold back, because even if at the end where they do destroy his core and all this stuff, at the end of the day, like you have some of the strongest scientific minds there, and if you kill everybody, you lose all your leverage against them. Okay, so I can see how now the one choice that sort of was you have to suspend disbelief a little bit more. Is that he spent the time fighting Scott afterwards, even though the portal for him to go jump into the world was right there and he could have. All good. So that was a slightly, but at the end of the day, again, hubris. So if you think about that, like this person being like so humiliated that he was put in this position, you can see like, well, he really wanted to like make his statement. And so again, if you think of it from that point of view, that this particular version of Kang's flaw is hubris, his decisions make a lot of sense. Okay, and again, it makes sense why he is the exiled one when there's a whole council of him. Okay, he was the one who was too cocky to work with the rest of himself. Which puts him at a disadvantage. Now you have to deal with all the Kangs that know how to work together going forward, and that's a much more scary proposition. Which I'm excited for, but also a little scared of the execution going forward, because it seems like now there's this Council of Kangs and they're gonna send them like one at a time, so we'll see them kind of like a Power Rangers movie where basically they send down their beast of the week and then there's some epic battle and then they send out another beast the next week. I'm hoping it doesn't qu I hope it's a little bit more compelling than that over the next several appearances of Kang. But it's exciting to see that they definitely intend on incorporating like all the versions of Kang. Okay, we saw them, and again, I warned you about spoilers, so at this point, I'm not holding back regarding spoilers. The second end credit scene, I think, lacked a little wallop because the first end credit scene had so much wallop. So yeah, MODOK was great. I know like his origin and all that stuff was kind of different than the comic books, but far as trying to find a way you could fit a character like MODOK in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, I think that was probably as good as you could do it, and they did him in a pretty good way, and I was entertained throughout the entire MODOK subplot. I thought that was fun, and I definitely got some of the best laughs out of that character. A lot of people said like, oh, this wasn't as funny as the other Ant-Man movies. It was still pretty funny. I did not lack for laughs. Yes, it wasn't quite as lighthearted. It wasn't quite as grounded in the sense where, like, the other two movies, you know, you're dealing with a much, you know, a much narrower threat. You know, it's not like the fate of the universe lies or the fate of the world. It's, you know, they were more like, okay, well, we have this X problem, and it's a much more local, the scope was smaller. And I understand, like, a lot of people, like, hey, they like that. They like that. So, again, most people refer to it as like a palate cleanser. This was not that, but I liked what it was. I think what they said they, what Peyton Reed said they wanted, like, you know, a Avengers Endgame level Ant-Man movie. I think you built that. The problem was, like, you know, you're never going to get a moment like Endgame anytime soon because it took so long to build up to it. So much lore, so much world had to be built. So much stakes had to be sort of set up over lots of movies to make that. And now you have to kind of reset that all up. So it's going to take like another, you know, 20 movies before you build up enough new lore and a new attachment to new characters to kind of get to that place again. But I think you have a much more compelling villain, which you can weave in lots of stories, and there's a lot of potential characters at play here. And then, of course, you know, there's the prospect that, hey, because of, you know, generally, you know, you're leading up to like the whole multiverse war, you're leading up to Secret Wars. At the end of all this, you can then reshape the Marvel Universe to include things like the X-Men and, you know, basically things that they couldn't necessarily include the first time around, or, you know, redo things that need to be redone. I mean, you know, basically be able to bend the canon to keep what you want to keep, get rid of what you want to get rid of. Okay, which makes me really excited for Deadpool because it sounds like, you know, Deadpool's where they're really gonna really start climaxing that incursion story, and essentially it looks like basically you're gonna see like Deadpool with a gang of X-Men jumping from universe to universe as they as universes blow up, and probably, you know, at the end, Deadpool's the one delivering, you know, the message of the incursions to, you know, the 616 universe and setting up, you know, Secret Wars or Kang Dynasty. I forget which one it's supposed to be leading into. But overall, again, Ant-Man was good. I think it is definitely worth going to the theater to watch it. Although, again, if you got this far, you've listened to the spoilers. So if you didn't go watch the movie, then you should have listened to me when I said spoilers. But I'll leave it at that. I liked it. Go watch it. It's worth your time. Even if I already spoiled it for you, go watch it. It's good. The only thing I wish I saw more of is more of a Quaze. You know, basically, I forget Harper, I forget his name, Chidi from the Good Place, which that constantly made me miss that show so much every time he was on screen. But his character was great. I think there were some decent jokes told as a character, but it was like underutilized and like, you know, especially since, you know, a lot of us were expecting like, oh, he'd become Quasar, you know, because it would make sense. But it didn't kind of go there. It just he was just a guy. So hopefully in the future they do that. Although it doesn't, there doesn't really seem to be a compelling reason for them to come back to the quantum realm as the movie concludes. Like, looks like the quantum realm stuff is done. Like, this was like, hey, we did it. We showed you some wacky stuff. Now we're going back to, you know, back to Earth, which is fine. I mean, I get that you can't say, hey, we're gonna exist here for going forward, and I guess a lot of people just didn't enjoy the silliness of the Quantumverse because again, this basically this movie is extremely silly, which I liked. I liked the silliness and creativity and the weirdness of the quantum realm, but for a lot of people that might just seem like a little much, which is I think what is reflected in the reviews that people are just like, oh, okay, this is just like a little not. It's not funny enough in the way the previous Ant-Mans were funny, and it's too silly for me to take it seriously, so I need to give it a negative kind of thing. But I enjoyed the silliness. Yes, it was like really laid thick in the weirdness of the quantum realm, but I enjoyed that. Like they weren't bashful to say, hey, this place is weird. You know, it all makes sense. And again, you can nitpick, but the story was told, and when you really put it into perspective again, thinking in that framework of like, hey, this Kang, you know, has more hubris than other Kangs, because again, why would he be the one that's exiled? It makes sense that it ended where it ended. And I think the way they, you know, and then at the end you realize like, oh, okay, maybe we made the wrong choice. I thought that was a good, you know, a good way to resolve things. This is kind of funny. It's like every time Kang dies, he's always like this warning, well, there's the other Mii's. So it's like every Kang is just someone who thinks like their job is to defeat what? Which I guess is the whole Kang point. The whole point of Kang that the basically, you know, he thinks it's his job to save the universe from himself, but he basically destroys universes in the name of saving the universe from himself. So you know, he has this sort of like twisted, you know, I am the good guy perspective. In a sense, I don't want to say he would. I don't know if he actually thinks himself as a good guy, but in the sense that, like, you know, it's like I'm doing it for the greater good, but except the greater good is to defeat himself. Yeah, it's an interesting character. I'm interested to see like more Kang in the future. So I'll leave it at that. I'm kind of ranting now, but overall, I enjoyed this. It was great. I loved it. See y'all later.